Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is one body and one spirit.
There is one hope in God's call to us.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God.
Who at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns one God in glory everlasting.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you, I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As the people were filled with expectation and were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have a new favorite movie. I found it on demand. It's a true story about a man named Jim White, who was a football coach, and the name of the film is McFarland, USA. This coach, Jim White, was frustrated after a football game at a big high school, and he threw a cleat at a locker, and the cleat hit the locker and bounced back and hit one of his most belligerent and spoiled football players in the face, causing the boy to bleed, causing Jim White to lose his job, as you can imagine. After an incident like that, the coach could not find a job very easily. So he ended up becoming a coach in McFarland, California. McFarland is a town made up primarily of Latina pickers. They get up before the sun rises, get out to the fields, work, and then the high schoolers will run miles from the fields to the high school, go to classes, finish their day, and then run back to the fields to continue to pick until dark. There is a general store, a beauty salon, and a lot of dust in McFarland. That's about it. So you can imagine this coach with his wife and his two daughters, one of whom is a teenager, driving into McFarland, and his family is pretty upset that this is where they're going to be living. Jim White is a smart man, though. And he watches these high schoolers and quickly realizes that a lot of these kids are tough and they're athletic. And what they're particularly good at, because they have to do it all the time, is running. So he drops the idea of a football team and he starts a cross-country team. He recruits some of these boys and begins to get them to believe in themselves. And in order to get them on the team and able to go to practice, he himself has to start picking alongside their parents. Jim White, on his first day of picking, thinks his back is broken. That's how hard he has to work. Well, these boys are tough. They work hard. And eventually they win the state championship. And after the race, the coach from Palo Alto comes up to Jim White and offers him a job. It's everything he thought he wanted. It's a lot of money, it's a nice house. But Jim White realizes something. That he's found something in McFarland, something that is wealth. That these boys, they love him, and he loves them. And that they have the kind of relationships with their family and with each other that he's always yearned for. They sit around the dining room table together. They would die for each other. And Jim decides that he doesn't want to leave. In fact, Jim White still lives in McFarland today. There's a powerful new YouTube video out. It's about a study done by Harvard, one of the longest research projects in human history. The study started in 1938. And a man named Robert Waldinger, kind of normal-looking man in his 50s, is filmed talking about this research project. You see, in 1938, Harvard decided that they wanted to study what exactly it took to make a human being happy and healthy. And in order to do that, they knew that they were going to have to track people through their whole lives. So in 1938, they identified 724 men. Half of them were sophomores at Harvard University. Half of them were poor men growing up in an area of Boston in broken homes. Every single year, they interviewed and talked with these men and eventually some of their wives and even their children. Every single year, they tracked them tirelessly. In fact, a lot of the men said, "Why are you so interested in my life? It's just not that interesting." Of course, the Harvard men never said that. Today, out of the 724 men, 60 of them are still alive and they're in their 90s. Now, a couple of interesting facts. The study discovered that today, millennials, when you ask them what are their top two goals in life, most of them say that they want to make a lot of money and they want to be famous. And back in 1938, when they asked those young men what were their top two goals, the majority gave the same answer. They wanted to make a lot of money and they wanted to be famous. But what the study showed over time was that as long as you make enough money not to be scared, in other words, if you make enough money to provide for yourself a subsistence, a house, food, making more money than that seemed to have absolutely no relationship to people's happiness or to their health. And as for fame, well, turns out that having the paparazzi chase you all over the place is really not very good for people's psychological well-being. And they end up being pretty miserable. After years and years of dedicated and quiet study, this research project came up with an answer. They realized that the one thing that makes human beings happy and healthier is relationships. Relationships with other human beings. And that's Luke, by the way. He's getting baptized. He may talk a little bit. What they realized is that you and I, if we're going to be really happy, we're going to need not just one really good, trusting, loving relationship. We're going to need at least four or five of them. And these relationships, they need to be deep and lasting. Conflict is okay. You can fight, but you got to know that the person that you love is going to be there for you. And if there's tons of conflict, the kind that tears you down or drives you apart, that can be so dysfunctional that it can be toxic. So these relationships need to be trusting. They need to be long-lasting. They need to be committed. And another thing that the study found is that loneliness is toxic. It can literally break down a person's health. And one in five Americans claims that they're lonely. But people who have loving and consistent relationships live longer and are happier. When I was a teenager, I used to carry the groceries for an elderly woman that lived across the street from me. Her name was Jo, and she was Jewish, and she liked to chain smoke. Jo was very, very lonely. I never saw a friend come by, and most of the time, Jo talked about her son and how angry she was at her son, and the fact that her son hadn't communicated with her in 10 years. And I tried to get her to call her son, but she always said, no, he has to call me. And I tried to get her to pray. In fact, I know one Jewish prayer in Hebrew, you know, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echod. Well, I remember she would only say that Echod part with her hands on her hips. Echod, now stop bothering me. Well, Jo gradually was dying, and because she didn't seem to have anyone, my parents and I arranged for her to go into a hospice. She remained so unhappy that we decided if she wasn't going to call her son, we were going to call him. I will never forget the look on that woman's face when her son walked through the door of her room. Immediately, the tears began pouring down her face, and she yelled at him, I am so angry at you! And he said, I'm angry at you too, Mom. And he started to cry. And then they told each other that they loved each other, and they hugged, and we got out of there. Jo died 2 days later, and her face was totally changed. She had this look of peace about her. I cannot describe it. All was well with her. Today is the day of Jesus' baptism, and we're going to baptize little Tori, and we're going to baptize loud Luke, who's out there. And they're beautiful. Both of them are beautiful. Now, when Jesus was baptized, often we think about that sort of icon of Jesus and John the Baptist, and then there's this big Holy Spirit dove that kind of comes down, right? That's who your picture was there. Sort of an isolated event. Well, read Luke carefully. There were a whole pile of people being baptized that day. Jesus was one among many people. And when Jesus was baptized into relationship, not only with God, but with the people who were around him, and with you and with me. In fact, God the Father kind of introduces Jesus in a way. It sort of feels like, you know, if I had my son with me at a cocktail party, I'd say, "This is my son. This is my guy. I love him. Get to know him." I think what we don't understand about baptism is it's not just about our relationship with God. It's about our relationship with God and with each other. In fact, God is relationship. That's why we call God Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You cannot know God if you don't know human beings. We are designed to live in community. You must find those relationships of love and trust in your life in order to live fully. Ironically, in order to love God more. We are baptized into the body of Christ. And sometimes in the scripture they call that a family. I know families can be messy. Relationships can be messy. What does John say about Jesus? He's going to come with a winnowing fork and separate the wheat from the chaff? You and I both know that when you're in a relationship and you dare to be vulnerable, gosh, it sometimes hurts and it changes you and it's disappointing and difficult, but it is the stuff of life itself. It is what is really important. Your relationship with the one who created you and your relationships with each other. You are going to take vows to support little Tori and little Luke, to support them in their life in Christ, and their parents and godparents are vowing to bring them here to church so that you can watch them grow up. We are entering into a relationship with these babies. We need to take that seriously. The theme for this year at the cathedral is courageous relationships. I want to encourage you in 2016, if you don't have a handful of beloved ones with whom you are truly intimate and vulnerable and known, then you find them. And if you don't have people in this community, in this very church, who know you and pray for you, then find them. We will help you. We will help you. God created us together, to live together. The baptized ones. To be in relationship with God and with each other. Amen. There's Luke. He's gotten all quiet. All right, parents, godparents, anyone who's going to take these sacred vows, will you come forward, please? Congregation, will you turn with me to page 4 of your bulletin, and you can remain seated. I will tell you when to stand. Hi, Sister Julia. You doing okay? Are we ready? The candidates for holy baptism will now be presented. Will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life?
I will, with God's help.
Will you by your prayers and witness, help these children to grow into the full stature of Christ.
I will, with God's help.
Do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce all sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior?
I do.
Do you put your whole trust in his grace and love?
I do.
Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord?
I do.
Congregation, will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support these children in their life in Christ?
We will.
Let us stand and join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son of the Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary.
He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
I will, with God's help.
Will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord.
I will, with God's help.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will, with God's help.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will, with God's help.
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people, and respect the dignity of every human being?
I will, with God's help.
Let us now pray for these children who are to receive the sacrament of new birth. And look for him to come again in glory, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water. Over it, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through it, you led the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt into the land of promise. In it, your son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us through his death and resurrection from the bondage of sin into everlasting life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death. By it, we share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, we bring into his fellowship those who come to him in faith, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, sanctify this water, we pray you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that those who here are cleansed from sin and born again may continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Relatives and friends, you can come closer. All children who want to see better, you're welcome to come up. Name this child. Victoria K. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Victoria K. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever.
Amen.
Amen. Name this child.
Luke Joseph.
Luke Joseph is asleep and doesn't want to be woken up. Back to sleep. Luke Joseph. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Luke Joseph, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by water and the Holy Spirit, you have bestowed upon these, your servants, the forgiveness of sin, and have raised them to the new life of grace. Sustain them, O Lord, in your Holy Spirit. Give them an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and to persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works.
Amen. Amen.
Let us welcome the newly baptized. We receive you into the household of God. Confess the faith of Christ crucified. Proclaim his resurrection and share with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Mr. Luke is still asleep, I'm amazed. Let us welcome the newest members of St. John's Cathedral. everybody. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a present, but you have to hold it up so they can find you. Now, I know there's some visitors here in the families. Hold your hands up and let the ushers bring you a present. Welcome, welcome. We're so glad you're all here today. I want to say thank you again to everybody who pledged for 2016. We have one brick left on our wall, and we are $93,000 ahead of last year, which is awesome. Good job, everybody. Thank you. A couple of announcements. There is an organ recital this afternoon at 4 o'clock, a beautiful organ recital. See your bulletin for details. A couple of events coming. There is an Age Well workshop that is January the 24th at noon, a free lunch, and the topic will be must-have legal documents. One of the ways that you can love the people who you're in relationship with is to make sure that you have everything lined up if you were to die. If you don't know that or haven't done it, you need to come to this free workshop and find out. It's not hard to do, and it is an act of great love to do that. You don't have to be old. All of us need to have those documents in place. For those of you who have done the Curcio weekend, there will be a reunion on Sunday, January 31st at 5 o'clock at St. Andrew's. And our annual meeting is Sunday, January 31st, right after this service. This church has one meeting a year in which we invite all of our members. It lasts about an hour. There's lunch. We have a slideshow of the year, which is fun. I do a little State of the Union, a talk. But the most important thing we do is we elect our leadership. There are booklets available in the back of the church with bios of all the people who are running for vestry, our governing board. I hope you'll pick up a copy and read them, and then come on January 31st to lunch after church. Remember that when Jesus was baptized, he was not baptized alone. He was baptized with many other people. And so we all are baptized into relationship with God and with each other.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile Earth, our island home.
By your will, they were created and
from the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another.
Have mercy, Lord, for we have sinned in your sight.
Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood and his wounds we are healed.
And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take. Eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption, and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only, and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, your Church gives honor, glory, and worship, from generation to generation.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and there is too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.